Father, we once again are gathered on this beautiful evening to worship you, we pray in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Thanking you, Father, for the beautiful day you've given us and for the time we've had to get together. Thanking you, Father, for the blessings that we have in this life, for the health that we have, that we can be here, and Father, for all those that have been mentioned here today that are our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family and our friends that are sick.
Amen.
Father, we ask you to watch over them and care for them in such a way that they can regain their normal walks in this life. Father, we're grateful for the church that meets here at this place. We're thankful for every member that attends, and Father, for those that are not able to come at this time, Father, we ask you to help them that they can once again be here to be with us. We pray that you'll help us to grow the church and spiritually and in number. Help us, Father, to be a light in this community, and Father, to serve you as you intended for us to do. We're grateful for Brother Robert, Sister Jane, as they labor here at this congregation. Father, we pray that you'll give them such a days ahead of them that much good can be done for you and for the church here.
Amen.
Help each one of us to do our part,
yes,
to do our labor, and Father, we pray for blessings that can come about from us doing your work. Father, we're grateful for the country in which we live. We're thankful for all the blessings that we have. But Father, we have freedom that we cannot really think about like other countries do, because it is so great. We have the freedom to worship you, and Father, we pray that that will always be the case. We pray that you'll defeat those that want to get rid of our religion,
yes,
to get rid of your word, and Father, we pray that we'll stand up and be brave and carry on with your work here as you intended for us to do. We ask you to bless the leaders of the land. Father, we pray that they'll look unto you for guidance and for help and not to man's wisdom. We pray for the ones that protect us, the servicemen, our policemen, our doctors and nurses and first responders. We ask a special prayer for them, Father, that you keep our military safe and help us to have peace, that you take care of our doctors and nurses that work so hard, and our policemen, and Father, we ask you to protect them as well. Help us, Father, to always look to you for guidance, and to thank you, Father, always for your Son that you sent here to teach us the things that you would have us to know and to die on the cross for our sins. Help us to be strengthened every day in our lives. Help us to be more like your Son. And Father, we thank you for every blessing that we receive, for we realize that all blessings come from you. We ask you to watch over us every day. Father, may we always be in contact with you in our lives. And then, Father, we ask for you to guide us every day and every minute in our life. Help us always to strive to do your will. And again, thank you for allowing us to be here. And Father, we pray that the things that we say and do will be acceptable in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for we know that we're not perfect here on this earth by any means, and that we do fail you, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins. And help us, Father, to always strive to overcome our weaknesses that we can be found faithful on your side. Thank you again for Jesus. And for Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. Also, I want to mention to you that she said she'd been listening by way of our internet site to the sermons delivered, and it kind of sparked her remembrance of the days when we were over that way and teaching in the youth classes and all. And I got to thinking how we had tried here to teach the same way in Bible school programs and activities that we had here at the congregation, and how that the families undoubtedly love very much having the youth ministers to pick up their children and deliver them back home from town, and thus they left us because of that. And I hope and pray that some of the young people that were under the teaching that Miss Jane was giving and Sister Mary Jean was giving and I was giving in these vacation Bible school programs and activities like that will be remembered 10 years from now like she remembered 10 years from then. What a deal that is. 40 years. She was 10 years old at the time. And she was smart with it. She was capable with it. And she remembered very well. What a blessing. The identity of the Lord's church begins a series of sermons tonight that I don't know if it'll end, but I've got 10 sermons together that are part of the life of my studies and everything. I trust that we can enjoy together. The identity of the Lord's church tonight to begin with. Keep in memory, please, that Jesus, when he promised his disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, the place of the dead, "will not prevail against it." Jesus was simply saying that my death will not preclude the church from being built. The church is going to be built in spite of it, because I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, will not prevail against it. "And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven," he told Simon Peter. "I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples they should tell no man that I am the Christ, not at this time. And what happened there was this following. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Jesus' death was imminent. It was coming about. And Jesus said, "It will not prevent the establishment of my church. I will build my church." When we talk about the name of the church, we're talking about the Christ himself. And notice that when we get to Romans chapter 16, verse 16 and following, he says, "Salute one another with holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Then he says, "Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple." He notes that people don't always stay faithful to what they hear. They're deceived by what they hear. It leads them away from Christ. But he says, "You mark those that cause divisions and offenses." You note who they are. And you note in teaching people that this way is not the way of truth and the way of righteousness. When we read in regard to the house of God in 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 15, we read where Paul writes there in regard to, "If I tarry long, that you may know where you ought to, how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And then he goes on to say some more things in regard to that pillar and ground of the truth and the way of life that we should follow. It is said, and without controversy, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." We note that that is the part of the situation. We have today a living Lord. He owns the church. He built the church. He did it without fail, of his death. And when he did that, it is noted without controversy, great is the mystery of plan, godly plan, of godliness. How that God manifest in the flesh, that was Jesus. How that he was justified in the spirit that he possessed, he was right before God. He did righteousness in the presence of God. Seen of the angels, they came to get him, and he went back to glory. And you remember, a few of those stood there as the disciples looked up, gazing into heaven, and they said, "Don't gaze into heaven like this. You've seen him go. He will so come again in like manners. You've seen him go." Did he not tell the disciples there in Matthew chapter 16 that I will be tried, I'll be killed, I'll be put to death, I will rise again the third day? Did he not let them know that he was going to die? But when he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it," for a moment there he gave them a clue. My death will not stop my church from coming about. When we read about this in 1 Timothy 3 at 15, or 16, and we read without this in this regard, but verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." That house of God is first named by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 2, in which he predicts about the house of God shall be built, exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. It would exist of people, Jews and Gentiles. Might say white and black, European, Spanish, whatever. It would not have partiality to it. It would be built, and people would be brethren one with another and care for one another. And here today we had the evidence of that. When you were friends with somebody that you didn't know that came to visit with us today to have a Bible study this afternoon and obey the gospel. And yet you were friendly to her and kind to her in the way that a Christian should be. We're talking about the church of the Lord and the establishment of his church. And what kind of people are they to be? They're to be people who care, and who care enough to be the kind of people that do not hurt and harm people just because they are different or odd from us. We're to be people who care about them. When this young black couple came here to visit with us, and they haven't visited again in several times, they're members of the church there at Goodman Oaks Church, right there on the highway. But they were late getting out of here and everything, getting up there to their Bible study classes. They came here, and people have treated them right and decently ever since. And they asked me, could they get married here? Sometime later on this year, they want to get married. And I said, I don't know of any problem that y'all have about getting married in this building, in this place. We'll do that. As far as I know, we're okay with that to be done. And they were people who were serious about their biblical studies and their enjoyment of the Bible studies that we did here and do here. We are blessed indeed to have that to be done. And when we read about this church of the Lord and the kind of people that were to be there and the kind of work that they were to do to one another, then we read about people who really helped out each other in a righteous and good and godly way. When we talk about this, we're talking about a way of life that is described. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose and faith, long-suffering and charity and patience, persecutions and afflictions which come upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul, you're not mistaken that. He was facing all these kind of things as a brother in the church of the Lord. He was facing these things. And as he faced these things, He said, but the Lord delivered me. We give and we help people along the way out of our gifts that we give. But you know, the Lord helps us to be what we are. The Lord assists us to be all that we are. The Lord accepts us to be all that we give and all that we utilize as we read God's Word to see what we ought to do and how we ought to attend to people who are in times of need. That's the description that's given in the Bible of these people in the church. But thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose and faith, long-suffering and charity and patience, persecution and afflictions which come upon me. And he names the cities where he faced that persecution and hurt at Antioch, Laodicea, and Lystra. And he says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I got to believe that I've seen that happen in my life in the church. I didn't face all these type of things, but I faced some of these type of things. And people who despised and hated me for correcting them with the Bible, with the teaching of the Word of God. This is not what God says to do. This is not God's way of living and behaving. But we'll fire him, we'll get rid of him, and it'll be done. And we'll be at peace once again in this church. That's what they decided. They were good and godly men, but they were mistaken in regard to what stuff they were doing. And it was hurting a lot of people. They were not going to heaven if they practiced this way of life. And I knew that. And the Bible teaches against that way of practicing life. And yet, I believe the Lord delivered me and had a real blessing from it. And they repented. A year later, they sent word that they had repented. Some of the brethren that had left that place in that regard said, let's not go back. We're growing, we're developing. People know us, and they know us for the Bible's sake. And greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Who did? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might be here. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Did Paul face some troubled times and difficult times at the beginning of the early church? Yes, he did. Described there in regard to evil work, every evil work, the Lord delivered him from every evil work. I know he lived in a time where there were miraculous deeds that were done. But he was teaching brethren and Timothy in a time in which he would face this by his example. Be the same kind of person who follows what the Lord says to do and be what the Lord says to be. And you'll be surprised who comes to stand by your side. And what a blessing. He closes out in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord be with us as we continue the study regarding his church being built and the promise of the Lord that he would build his church and the gates of death would not prevail against it. What a blessing. What a blessing we have. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation or not, come as we stand together and as we sing to obey his gospel. Down at the feet of your Savior. And
symbol of the body of our Savior as it was sacrificed upon that cross. Pray that those who partake and do so in a manner pleasing unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this fruit of the vine, the symbol of the blood of our Savior that was shed upon that cross to bring about the fulfillment of His promise. We pray that you will watch over us and pray that you will bless those who partake. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 203. 203. After this song, JL, would you lead us in prayer? I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and be told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Father, we're so thankful to thee for this opportunity to pray to you to help us through this day. We ask you to guide, guard, and direct us, and forgive us for our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.